May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you. Reading tonight are God's most holy word. You can find it in Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads. And for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. And brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side, Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up in our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. As far as the reading of God's most holy word, may he add his blessing and teach us to pray. Most holy, sovereign, almighty God, eternal and gracious, a merciful and loving God, art thou, O Lord, and we believe it. And so we would bow before thee this evening and confess, Lord, all our sins and unworthiness, and praise thee, O Lord, for thy matchless mercy to fallen sons and daughters of Adam, and thank thee for the gift of thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, and the hope of Israel, and the cheer of the downcast and desponding soul. And truly, Lord, we may say, Why art thou downcast, O my soul? For, Lord, thou art gracious and long-suffering. And we bow before thee tonight, Lord, to ask that thou would remember us in mercy, that thou would come and bow down in thy holy presence into our midst, thou who art so holy. And we, Lord God, such sinners. But thou hast sent thy Son to save chief sinners and rebels and wash the vilest of sinners clean. And, Lord, that thou might remember us, look not upon us according to whom we are, but do it for thy great and holy name's sake. Bless us, Lord, with the touching of thy hand, with the sending forth of thy love. Melt our hearts in that wonder of salvation in thy dear Son. Bless us with thy Spirit to teach us and guide us. Grant us the utterance of the words. Grant us thy blessed Spirit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. O Lord, that thy people hear may be blessed in their souls, as that Lord Jesus Christ may be set before them. And though we might feel ourselves so ever poor and wretched, and broken and contrite on account of our unworthiness and inability. Yet, Lord, we look unto thee with whom there is nothing impossible. The Almighty God and gracious, the pure and holy God and yet condescending, that loving God that thou art, Lord, we believe in. Oh, that thou in mercy might remember us from the youngest to the eldest that gathers tonight. And bless us, Lord, with thy presence, to remember us, Lord, in all our various needs. Remember this dear people in all their wants and needs. Those in sickness, those in hospital, those with weaknesses, those with great trials in life that will not go away. Heavy burdens, O Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we feel the solemn, solemn effects of sin. And we see it witnessed even here amongst this people, as we see it throughout this world, that thou, Lord, might prove that gracious God in the breaking of hearts and trials and troubles, and bringing unto Jesus Christ to believe that that dear Lord Jesus Christ, thy ever-blessed Son, is able to comfort in every distress and heal every burden, to conquer, Lord, where man cannot do nothing. And Lord, that thou might be pleased tonight to bring every downcast soul at thy feet to worship, to praise thee, Lord Jesus Christ, who art that great physician. Oh, that precious one, so often kind in thy words, compassionate in all thy dealings, merciful to all the unworthy things of thy disciples and people. So kind, so compassionate, so patient with all thy people's sins. O Lord, that thou then would reveal thyself as such a precious one in the eyes of faith to such a poor, downcast ones. O Lord, all of us together, that thou might appear, that thou might reveal thyself. O that this might be people blessed with the riches of Christ Jesus, a congregation that becomes a church, a living, sighing people that look up unto thee, Lord, for all the needs of this life. And do guide the deacons as they, without the absence of ministers, Lord, is that they might lead this people, and that thou might bless continually. And so, Lord, we bow before thee to beg and plead, remember our cause at home, or remember those who must read the sermons when we are gone. Bless, Lord, O thou art able to do all things. Oh, what a mercy we might come home to find the great stirrings of the Spirit, and the souls that may be turned thineward. And so, Lord, we plead for this cause. Oh, for the friends that we know, for the church here, the denomination in England, America, and Australia, Canada, Lord, to have mercy. Dwell in our midst as our precious God and Savior, our guide and protector. Oh, Lord, we need thee and can do nothing without thee. In haste, Lord, remember us in mercy. Bless us. Grant that multitudes might yet be turned inward. Multitudes might see the great need to be saved and the preciousness of Christ Jesus the Savior. Lord, give us a hungering and thirsting after thy precious word. Bless that word in our hearts and in our homes, and grant that it might be the light upon each of our paths, the instruction in the way, in the dark ways that we walk, the joy and rejoicing of our soul, the revelation of Christ Jesus our Savior. O Lord, that that word might be blessed and sent throughout this world, and that might be a prosper the translation efforts of the Trinitarian Bible Society and those men occupied with such an enormous task. Bless them, Lord, with a double portion of thy spirit and understanding, and that thou might break every gate and every mountain and every barrier. Oh, that the Gentile people and Jew together might turn in, that might know that life in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we ask for these rich favors. We ask for thy presence tonight to bless the words spoken into our souls. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for thou art worthy. And we would never leave off the thanksgiving offerings that ought to be offered to thee. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast sent thy Son. Oh, we thank thee that thou hast chosen a people, thy church, called them out of darkness into thy marvelous light. We thank thee for thy gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and his glory and salvation. All that has been accomplished, the victory obtained, all his loving kindness, his tender humanity, his death. Oh, that solemn death of Christ, him who was buried in the grave, him who broke the bands of death and hell and conquered Satan, him who ascended into heaven, and him even now who resides, who washes all that is unacceptable of his people in his precious blood, who saveth to the uttermost, who maketh intercession continually, who never slumbers nor sleeps, and thy glorious Spirit whom thou hast sent to teach these truths, to deploy them into our hearts, to lift up the downcast and to give faith unto the unbelieving. O Lord, then cheer us tonight. Fill our souls with thanksgiving offerings. Let us sing the songs of thankful tribute unto thee who art worthy to be exalted and glorified. Hear us and answer us. In the precious name of our all-prevailing Savior and Mediator and Prophet, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Hymn 329.
greatly feeling you need the Lord's help tonight. We draw your powerful attention to the chapter that we have read together. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, beloved friends, what a vital thing to have and possess in our lives. And the word that was on my spirit this yesterday and today of this evening service was that word in the beginning of the text, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want you to speak, if the Lord may enable me, of the choice of mankind, of the choice of the living church. And we would set the glory in the place where it belongs, in the presence of the Most High God, for I'm convinced in my heart that if I was required to choose God of my own volition or my own strength and my own ability, I'd never chosen him. I was thinking that hymn, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He to save me from my danger interposed his precious blood. And when we would speak this evening hours, the Lord may enable to speak on this precious topic, and that we may acknowledge, beloved friends, that every choice that mankind has made from the beginning, where Adam fell out of paradise and made that most solemn and awful choice to eat of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, have we been not able to witness the awful results of it? That sin filled this world. Sin was in every action of mankind. And the only choice that we have ever made is bad choices and evil choices, and God denying choices and soul destroying choices. Does not the earth itself witness of man's ability to choose? And we might abhor the very theme of free will in an Armenian spirit, where the professing church believes that there is a choice to be made. And I want to prove this evening, if the Lord may help me and open up his precious word, of the sacred love the child of God has to the Most High God, not that he chose God, but that God chose him. And the words that Joshua spoke in our text, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, the choice that Joshua made, is indeed a choice that is made by all the living children of the Lord, his bride. For she indeed does choose, but we would set the glory in the hands of the Almighty God, in the precious and tender love of Jesus Christ, in enabling Joshua and Moses and Mary and every other child of God to choose the way of life, to choose the way in which they leave the city of destruction. In this chapter, Joshua is reprimanding, we would say, the inhabitants of Israel. Put away your gods, he says to them, and serve the Lord God. Joshua reminds them of their forefathers. They did nothing but choose the ways of the world and the evil ways of the neighboring nations, the gods of the fathers on the other side of the Euphrates River, or the gods of the land of Egypt. We see in that text I quoted this afternoon in Jeremiah chapter 31, although I was as a husband unto you, ye forsake my ways, ye forsake me as your God. Ezekiel chapter 20, there too it says, I, the Lord, chose Israel. And in the 8th verse we read, but ye rebelled. We are, dear friends, nothing more than rebellious creatures, unworthy. How can we then choose the way of life and salvation? How can we choose that way in which the Lord stresses that we must have affliction? Isaiah 28 verse 10 says this, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. And who, which man of this world, which man of flesh, this man of ease and comfort will choose the way of affliction and oppression and sorrow and grief? Who would choose these things? I know in my own life, I had never chosen God. But we do thank Him for those precious Thanksgiving offerings, the themes of a chosen church and predestinated. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 says, But God has from the beginning chosen you. And we do thank God for this precious text, that before the world was created, God has chosen His people and chosen each one that shall walk the way of separation, the way of denial, the way in which they choose with Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the tents of sin for a season. Dear friends, what of you and I? Have we chosen this way, or rather, shall we say, have we been chosen of God? Has God in His mercy visited our souls and enabled us, like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, to choose to leave the city of destruction? He had never left the city of destruction, but stayed there his entire life and perished with that fire from heaven through the obstinacy of His will. But there's that precious chapter in Psalm 65. Psalm 65 verse 4. Blessed is that man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach. Oh dear friends, if God will choose us, if God chooses you and me together, it is then and then only we will come to Him. It was then we will leave this world and our own wicked and wretched self. It is then we will incline unto His commandments and desire. Truly it is worthwhile to suffer affliction and hatred and contempt of the world. Oh, to be denier of self and to walk in those times and seasons in which we mourn and are downcast. Oh, that the Lord Jesus may become precious to us, and we might truly be enabled to serve the Lord as Joshua did. Oh, that God then might choose each one of us, and that God in mercy might begin to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I believe it is in that second chapter, that second book of Thessalonians. In the second chapter we read that when God had chosen His people out of the world into His marvelous light, it was there that Paul set before them that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we yearn, beloved friends, to taste the loving kindness of Jesus? Can we live our life? Can we no longer live our life as formerly? Have we seen the emptiness and poverty of serving this world and our own evil and wretched self? It is a mercy, for when the Lord chooses us, it is then the Lord begins to instruct how empty is this world. No more than empty, this world is perishing, a poor perishing world. And we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. Wherefore labor ye for that which is not bread, and that which ye shall perish with. Oh, dear friends, that the Lord may choose each one of us, or that we might be brought to that place of poverty to beg, Lord, choose me. Lord, there is nothing good within me, but for Thy great name's sake, and to glorify Thy matchless mercy in the heart of such a chief sinner, to magnify the gospel, to magnify Thy mercy, choose me. Oh, choose me, the chief of sinners, that the precious ways of salvation, the cleansing effect of the blood of Christ, and the compelling love of Jesus Christ may enable me. For there, friends, I am convinced that Joshua and Moses and Mary and every child of God is filled with that love of God, whether they know it or not, and that faith from God, and that renewing of their mind. I believe it's something of what that text says in Romans 12 too. And be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you and I need, beloved friends, the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our understanding, and the kindling in our souls of a desire to seek a better country, a heavenly country. And though the Lord may plunge us into adversity and bring us into deep sorrow on account of our sins, of our failures, of our worthlessness, of our weaknesses, of our poverties, of our inability to serve God as He is able, of our failings in seeing who God is, how gracious He is. Oh, those hymns are so preciously sung. Why are we downcast and cast into such despondency? Is not God gracious? Are we not founded on that solid foundation of the mercy of Jesus Christ and His favor? What blessings, dear friends, wait the child of God? Ah, what sweet compassion of the Lord to guide us in this life. And though we so fail to represent Him and fail to look like Him, yet how gracious is our God, is He not? As He's chose us, why would God choose us, a sinner, but to glorify Himself in His own decrees and purposes, that He might bless us and enable us to leave the hateful ways of this world? Oh, friends, how deep and profound are the ways of God that we do not understand. But if God should choose us, what did that hymn say? He'll never, never, no, never forsake us. And though the way be so ever so dark and ever so desponding at times, this gracious and all condescending God will be sure to guide us and to maintain our way, for He hath chosen us. We have not chosen Him. In John 15 it says that, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit unto me." How vital it is then, dear friends, that you and I might be a chosen people of God, so highly favored to be tried and troubled, so highly favored to be chosen by God, to be brought into that pathway of darkness and sorrow, that we might lift our eyes to heaven and cry to God, that He who is chosen might manifest Himself in His faithfulness and His eternal loving kindness in our souls. Oh, that we might prove that God has chosen us and that God has enabled us to choose Him. And we would speak if the Lord may enable us, friends, of those ways in which we are enabled by living faith to choose God, to choose the ways of God. We've already said that. The city of destruction. The church, they do choose. We said it. The examples of Scripture give evidence of it. Mary hath chosen that good thing, Luke 10 verse 42. Mary hath chosen that good thing, and from her it shall not be taken. Moses, he chose to suffer in the place of affliction that he might be with the people of God. And so we see, dear friends, that continually the Lord enables His people to choose to walk that way in which the Lord would have them. Oh, friends, have we chosen in that sense by that faith in God, in that love to God, in that desire to be united to God? Have we chosen to leave the city of destruction? Have we chosen to leave the hateful ways of sin? Have we chosen that is indeed better than to be plunged in poverty and distress and in darkness, rather than to live a life of ease and pleasure and security and perish? Have we been enabled, beloved friends, to choose the path of the Christian church and to rejoice with those that suffer and to believe that the gracious God will never abandon us? What tender mercies are in the rich abundance in this precious God. Oh, that we may have some comfort in this, and that we might, beloved friends, be enabled to be of that people who emphasize, who testify, who clearly confess that God chose them, and therefore did they choose Him. God did love them, and therefore they did love Him. God did give them faith, and therefore, and only therefore, oh, they desire that country, that heavenly country, and seek that better place where Jesus Christ dwells, where Jesus Christ reigns, where there shall no tear fall anymore, and all sorrow shall fall away, and all blackness be gone, and all tempests shall be removed, and there shall only be joy and rejoicing. Beloved friends, we do not choose heaven for heaven, but we choose heaven for the presence of Jesus Christ. Oh, we long to we choose that afflictive pathway, that we might be of the people of God. We choose to seek Jesus Christ, that our sins might be forgiven, and they may be drawn into communion with that beloved Savior. We ought to bless God and thank God for such a text as tonight. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. How long, friends, have you been serving the gods of this world and the gods of your fathers, the gods of this land and the gods of pleasure? How long have we been, unconverted in our midst, in this most solemn pathway, where we will not have this man to reign over us? We will not submit unto his sway and unto his scepter. Are we still in that choosing for ourselves, choosing our own life and our own pleasure? How is it, beloved friends? How solemn is our life? We were saying it to those young children in Sunday school. One soul we have, one soul to live, one life to live, and one soul to lose. Oh, that the Lord in his mercy might awaken us and quicken our spirits and bring us as a poor repenting sinner to seek that better life, to seek that eternal life, and to seek that communion in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How solemn. He questions it. Joshua questions the people. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Oh, how deep we have sunk, that such a question might be set before the people. And truly, dear friends, we would set it before you tonight as well. If we do not serve the Lord, is it then evil? Has the Lord, that gracious and good God, oh, has he done nothing but good to us? Has he been nothing but a kind and a gracious God? Has he not provided to us the provisions of the day and all that is necessary in this life? Has he not done to you better than you deserve? Who amongst us can stand up and say, God has dealt with me in a way in which I do not deserve? May the Lord arrest us and convict us even tonight to bring us, beloved friends, to leave that city of destruction and to walk in that narrow way, to choose, beloved friends, what so many of the world would not choose. You look at Christian, there he goes. He goes alone. His wife and his children stayed behind. Here's another thing, and this is that word again in the word of God. He that loveth father, mother, husband, wife, children, lands more than me is not worthy of me. And what does a child of God say? Oh, that I might have Jesus. And there he goes with Christian. Better to leave this world and better to leave all that I formerly loved than my soul be destroyed. Choosing, beloved friends, it is part of Christian life. It is part of the actions of the child of God that they choose to follow the ways of the Lord and beg of him that they might obey him. Choose to obey his commandments, although they are so weak. And although they fail so often, yet the innermost desire, the heart's longing is, Lord, I would choose to obey thee. Have we been afflicted in our souls? Have we been tried by the law of God? Do we see child of God in our midst? How poor a Christian we are. How dim the light shines. And like with Jeremiah's lamentation, how is Jerusalem become as that dross? How is Jerusalem become so dim? How little she resembles the light of a candle? But do we not know, dear friends, though we are poor and though we are empty and though we so little resemble our blessed Savior, yet the Lord knows our choice would be to follow the Lord and our choice would certainly be to obey his commandments. And Satan will come to such a one and tempt and try and trouble and afflict with temptation after temptation. The flesh is so weak. The spirit is willing, Jesus said. But how weak is our flesh? And we have to confess this and admit, if God had not chosen me, I had never maintained my way. I believe our hymn writer says it. We had sinned our soul away 10,000 times a day. There is, beloved friends, no strength in mankind to choose. I have chosen you. But you have rebelled against me, he said to Israel. And so, dear friends, when we see something of this weakness and we see something of our spiritual poverty and emptiness, what a mercy that God has chosen us and enabled us to choose him and desire to walk in his commandments. Friends, do we have such a religion? Praise unto God. The tender spirit of a soul that knows really what he is. And how we had never been able to choose these precious and the precious ways. The ways of God are so precious, and millions upon millions will not choose them. But thanks be unto God that his people, he has given that grace unto his people. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a work of God. We are his workmen, a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And there, dear friends, his people go choosing to walk that narrow pathway, the pathway that is strewn with thorns and strewn with darkness and valleys and sorrows and desponding ways. But they go on. How is it that they go on? Because the love of God and the kindness of God and the faithfulness of God and the oil of the grace is in the spirit and the soul enables that soul that it must go on. Their longing and desires will be said this afternoon already. Whom have I in heaven, O Lord, but thee? They choose to follow this way and to walk in his way, that they might come to the end, to the desired haven, even to the place where Jesus dwells. What choice have we made, friends? Can we make this choice of the child of God? Have we made this choice of the child of God? Has he enabled us to turn our backs upon our former life and former pleasures? Has he testified to us that he has truly drawn us out of darkness into his marvelous light? Has he done it, dear friends, by power that we cannot resist? That's how the Lord worked in my heart. As if a brick wall was set before me, and you could run against that wall as hard as you wanted, you would never get past it. Hitherto, and no further, for I have chosen. And if the Lord has chosen us and drawn us out of darkness into his marvelous light, he will certainly enable us to make those choices in which God is praised, in which our souls shall come off as conquerors. Oh, beloved friends, may the Lord grant unto us this real, true Christian experience. What a blessed place it was. We think of that woman who came behind Jesus Christ. Nothing in herself she brought. She brought her sorrow and her grief. But she came to the presence of her beloved Savior. Oh, to be with Jesus. Jesus inclined her heart. I believe that firmly. She had never come. She lived a life of sin. She was a wretched and chief sinner. But Jesus inclined her heart. And this is what we would say. The Lord will drive us by fear, or the Lord will draw us by love, but he will enable us to make choices to the benefit and profit of our soul. And then we see that woman. She came there with that conviction. She came with her sorrow and her grief. And she came to the one and only place. Her choice was Jesus Christ, the beloved Savior. And there she, behind him, oh, she wept. And she washed his feet with her hair, dried his feet. Oh, she showed forth what it was, how she loved him, how she needed him, and what she thought of him. Friends, can you make such a choice? Have you made such a choice in your life? To come to Jesus and bring forth every confession, to open up your soul and lay it before the God-man mediator, the precious and compassionate high priest, the one touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and to confess, Lord, confess before him, Lord, my poverty, poor I am, and poor I remain. There's a blessed word in Psalm 40. In the end of that, I think it's the 17th verse. Poor, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Oh, the Lord is my deliverer. Oh, what a precious word, beloved friends. To make that choice in that sense, to open up our heart. And here we would say, it is the Spirit that enables us. And the Spirit alone that opens up a heart and enables us to make that choice to confess before that great Jesus Christ who we really are. Broken in spirit, and yet determined. A determination given from heaven. Go on. Go on, poor Christian. Go on in all your trials and troubles. Oh, there is a reward waiting. And though they may not yet see it, that reward is that place of felicity. That place of eternal peace. That place where the blessed Jesus will come. He comes here, he wipes the tears from the eyes. He appears on behalf of his people, those who have chosen Jesus, who have chosen to be with him, who have chosen in that very, very small measure to suffer with him, to drink the drops of the cup of suffering. He has promised those ones. He will wipe their tears in this life. He will comfort them in all their sorrows and distresses. and he will take them up into eternal glory with himself. What blessings then wait for those who have been able to make this choice in this sense, to choose to serve the Lord, to choose to follow in his ways, to live a life of faith and hope, a life of trust, a life of submitting their ways unto him. There's a solemn word, dear friends. It's also about choice. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 speaks of choice. A people who refused. A people who would not. A people who could not. A people who were never chosen by the Almighty God. Here's that word. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Friends, how vital it is for you and I to be able to walk in the way of God's choosing. Choosing by faith in the depths of our heart to serve him and to obey his commandments. To be made to willing to walk in the darkest and deepest ways of affliction and sorrow for his name's sake. Yea, blessed is that man, is that in the Beatitudes, him. Blessed is him that suffer persecuted for my name's sake. For they shall be comforted. Dear friends, that this text in Isaiah 66, because there's a people who would never choose Jesus Christ, who would never believe the truths of the gospel, who would never choose to seek that favor of Jesus Christ. And unto them it said, the Lord will choose delusions for them, and just that they might be deceived. How solemn is this word? The precious, I was reading that, and I believe in Dr. Owen was saying that the gospel, friends, is not just the gospel of peace and the gospel of life. It's a gospel that also has threatenings. It speaks of such solemn truths in that word of God, like these words here. Those whose hearts are not humbled, who are not being chosen by God, who have not felt the deep necessity in the soul to flee for refuge to him, he will send them strong delusions. Though they make many prayers, I will not hear. What does he say in Psalm 2? The Lord shall laugh in heaven. The Lord shall have them in derision. How solemn is our life upon this earth, beloved friends. I was thinking of that example in Genesis of Noah. The Lord threatened judgment. The Lord threatened the destruction of the earth by water, by the flood. And there we saw Noah preaching, that preacher of righteousness. We saw him in the evidence of the building of that ark, believing in God, preaching to all those that would hear him of the coming judgment. But they chose a life of wickedness and violence and selfishness. And is it any different today? The Lord hath said, and yet once more I will shake the things that may be shaken, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And in Peter he says, the world, the earth that now remaineth, shall be burnt up with fire. We live in a very, very dreadful time. We live in the utmost and utter wickedness of our nations. We live in the abandonment of God and his commandments, and a people who have chosen to serve themselves in the world. But you, beloved friends, you and I together, we have such a precious place in hearing the gospel preached, the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Oh, the compassion of Jesus Christ and his tender mercy, and the need for us to be bowed down in the dust as poor beggars. And friends, we don't know if God has chosen us. It's hidden. But that does not give us an excuse. The Lord would have us as beggars, wrestling with God. Have mercy, O Lord. Choose my soul. Leave me not destitute. Leave me not by, O Lord. Pass me not by. We see so many examples in the gospel of Jesus Christ of those whom the Lord appeared to and shined in their hearts and converted them. And does not our hymn writer say, and why not me? And why not you? Why not, O God, the God of mercy and grace? Would not the Lord be glorified in us as chief sinners in washing our sins away? In enabling us to finally choose that which is right for our soul, not in us. I would never, do not think, friends, that this is a sermon tonight of our free will, that we can just choose. No, we choose because He enables us. We choose because He grants in us a deep necessity. We choose because we long to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We choose because He fuels our souls with fire and with the love of Jesus Christ. That's why His people choose. That's why Joshua chose. And that's why every child of God will choose. But have we chosen, dear friends? The time is hastening on. The day of judgment approaches. And how stands the case with our souls? Jesus is forever presented as that kind and compassionate Savior, the merciful High Priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But, beloved friends, are we being compelled? Are we being drawn to Jesus and opening up our soul to Him? Confiding in Him all our sorrows and griefs? What does the Word of God say of this blessed Jesus Christ, friends? The same yesterday, today, and forever. The same gracious Savior. He sent none empty away, except the proud ones, the vain Pharisaical spirit. But everyone that was sick and diseased, everyone that needed healing, everyone that came to Him with that heart filled full with complaints of his sorrows and distresses, Jesus displayed that wondrous mercy and loving kindness. And may we, beloved friends, be enabled to choose that way of the saints, that walk, that it's a low way. It's a tried and troublesome way so often. But Jesus does not leave His people there. Jesus comes and shows them that they are on a firm foundation, that they are the saints of the Lord. They are called, though plunging in affliction. I've chosen, He reminds them, in the furnace of affliction. I promise you no different. I promise you that I would be with you. I promise you that I would sustain you. And promise you I would comfort you. I promise you that I would lead you and hold your hand and not forsake you. But I never promised that it would not be a way of distress. And so His people are made willing. They choose that pathway because the Lord has enabled them. And so, friends, we would end this sermon this evening hour with this most solemn message. As Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Oh, who have we chosen at this moment, dear friends? Have we been enabled by faith with Joshua to come here? To come to this place? Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have chosen by the grace of God and by faith to walk this way. Now, Lord, undertake, fulfill Thy promises. Bless my soul, comfort my heart, lift me out of my distresses, cheer me in that gospel way, and that I might come at Thy own appointed time and Thy own appointed way, according to Thine own will and Thy honor, to heaven, to place where Thou dwells forever and ever. That people, dear friends, who have been enabled in this life to make that choice in this sense, they shall never ever be disappointed, though they have been much tried and much troubled. The precious Lord Jesus Christ can never, we said it this morning, did we not? He can never fail them. They are the very concerning care of His heart. He is jealous for their safety and for their eventual victory. And He will never let them go. Though he plunge them deep in adversity, it is only to loosen them from this world. It is only to again magnify His grace and mercy. And they will thank Him. They will thank Him that He has chosen them. And then thank Him that He has enabled them to choose Him, to follow His ways, and to walk according to His commandments. And we pray, beloved friends, that the Lord in His mercy may apply this soul unto ourselves, that we may be with Joshua and every child of God who has been so favored to walk this pathway. And may it be a warning unto those in our midst who are yet unconverted that it may not testify against us, that your hearts may not yet be hardened, but you might be enabled to be convicted first by sin, that you are still serving and choosing the ways of sin and evil and damnation, and thus be enabled by faith to walk the ways of every child of God and choose the choices of the living church and choose the ways the Lord Jesus Christ has declared we must walk in, and that soul so come off the victor. And may the Lord bless your soul and mine, and may the Lord forgive all that he has seen amiss in his pure eyes in this gathering together this day, for his great name's sake and to the comfort of his people. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £690, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker will preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, and address the Sunday school in the afternoon next Lord's Day. And on Friday evening, he will give an address to our young people in the vestry at 7:30. Let us close with hymn 566. Ye famishing, naked and poor, distressed, tormented, forlorn, in Christ is a suitable store for all that unto him will come. He's bread and the bread of life too, well suited the hungry to fill, nor one that unto him shall go, but what will approve the bread well. Hymn 566.
Thank you.
Now, dear Lord, do forgive with thy pure eyes all that thou hast seen amiss this evening. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.